name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may recognize the following questions with their answers. Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, drawn from the scriptures as you have learned to know it from the small catechism, to be faithful and true? If so, answer, I do. Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, answer, I do, by the grace of God. Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even unto death? If so, answer, I do, by the grace of God. And do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I do, by the grace of God. Of course, you recognize those are the questions that are asked of our confirmands, both our junior confirmands as well as adults who have been instructed in the faith. These are serious questions with most serious and eternal consequences to their answers. It sounds a little bit like what you heard in today's Old Testament reading. In the Old Testament, we are in the book of Exodus. And as the Israelites have departed from Egypt, they come to the wilderness of Sinai. And there, just before God prepares to give to Moses and the Israelites the entire law that is summarized in the Ten Commandments, but also all the aspects of worship and their life together, God first calls to the people through Moses and through this group of men that are called the elders. And he speaks to the people. And he reminds them of what he has done for them. He speaks to them with these words: "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed heed my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples." God reminds the Israelites what he had just done for them. He recalls for them, in those words, the Passover, and how he provided the lamb that would take their place and spare the lives of the firstborn. He reminded them of how he brought them to the Red Sea, and their God provided for the opening of the sea so that they might pass through on dry ground, and at the same time destroy the enemies that pursued them. Yet as God reminded them of how he had acted towards them, one cannot forget how they had acted towards him. They were only 3 days out of Egypt when the complaining started. The water was bitter. So God provided them water on the journey. Less than a month later, now they were complaining because the food supplies that they had brought with them had run out. There is no food. And God provided manna. Quail. Shortly later, the water again was not to be found in the wilderness. And so God provided water from the rock, even though in each of those cases, the people of Israel turned back towards Egypt and said, "Boy, I wish we were still back there rather than here." God was faithful. Israel, not so much. And yet, even now, God remains faithful to them. "I now give you my word, If you hold to that word, you will be my chosen people. You will be for me a nation of holy priests. And as God, through Moses and through the elders, provides the word to his people, this is how they answer that confession. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words to the Lord. We will. And yet, you know the history of Israel, don't you? They didn't. All through the wilderness, again and again and again. If they weren't rebelling against Moses, they were complaining directly to God. And what did God do? He showed his patience and his mercy. God kept them faithful. And yet, even along the way, as those turned aside from the word of God, God's judgment came upon those who rejected his word. And they fell by the wayside. But all through it, God remained faithful and eventually brought those people into the land of Canaan. And what did they do once they got there? Once again, they rebelled and they complained. They fought with one another. They even divided the kingdom. They couldn't agree on how to be ruled by God and his kings. They rebelled against God. They welcomed the worship of the false idols and the false gods of the people of the nation that they came into. But what did God do? He remained faithful. God was patient and long-suffering with his people. Why do we rehearse that story so often? Because instead of sitting in judgment of those people, although heeding the warning of those people, their life is the life of the church today. Think back on the promises that you, or so many you know, made on the day of your confirmation. Have you not also broken those promises to keep the commandments and heed the word of God? It doesn't take a very long journey through the commandments of God to realize that you, like the Israelites of old, have not kept the commandments the way God told you. Perfect, without fail. And yet God has not cut you off. God has not stopped being your God. God has not removed his mercy from you. Most importantly, though you have again and again and again broken his word, departed from that promise to be faithful to this confession, God has not removed his word from you. When you look back on the history of God and his people, whether of the Old Testament or the New Testament, my guess is that almost everyone here today, if you had the choice and the chance to take God's place, would do it differently. You, by now, would have said, "I've had enough. No more." How many of you wouldn't look at how God has dealt with his people and say, "Why didn't God just snap his fingers and say, 'You're mine, let's go off to heaven, let's be done'?" And the answer is, I don't know. And none of you do. But this is how God has chosen to work among men. And today's gospel reading is just another reminder of how God continues to deal with you, his people. The beginning of Jesus' public ministry is marked by Christ's show of mercy After his baptism, after his temptation, he goes into Galilee and there begins to go through the towns and villages, teaching the word of God, healing the sick, driving out demons, giving sight to the blind, and performing numerous miraculous signs to show that he was indeed the promised Messiah. And many people were drawn to him through his word. So much so that in the beginning of today's gospel, he looks out upon the people and he looks at them and says, they are like sheep without a shepherd. But the shepherd's standing right there. He is the good shepherd. How can he say they are sheep without a shepherd? It reminds me exactly of Moses, that he, there in the wilderness, says to God, how can I care for all of these people? And God appointed these 70 elders who he anoints with the spirit of Moses to aid him in the administration of the word of God to the people. And now Jesus does the same. Jesus, from among this group of followers, perhaps numbering in 1,000 or more, says to them, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the field. He's not talking about the wheat or the barley fields or the vineyards. He's talking about sending men with the word of God into the world. And so you have the answer to the prayer of the church, when now out of these numerous people, Jesus takes these 12 men. You heard their names mentioned. Some you know well: Peter, James, John, Andrew, Matthew. Some of them perhaps a little bit less known. Thaddeus, for example. Bartholomew. But regardless, Jesus sends these 12 men out and gives them the authority to do what he's doing: heal the sick, raise the dead, but most of all, proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is how God works, and how he will continue to work until the day of judgment. He sends men with his word and with his signs. No, I have not been sent to heal the sick or to raise the dead, for I am not an apostle, and there are no apostles. But that's why we confess that in the creed. We belong and are part of the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church, the church that is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, those to whom God spoke directly and gave his word. But now in the church, God continues to send men forth who take that prophetic and apostolic word and proclaim it to the world. And through that word, God draws men unto himself and makes this promise: as you heed my word and hold fast to that which I have given to you in that word, you will be mine. St. Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Romans: for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all of Israel accepted that good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the preaching of Christ. As you think back to the day of perhaps your confirmation or any other promise that you've made towards God, you must acknowledge that you have broken that promise. And yet God remains faithful. through the same word that you were taught then, you have continually been shown the mercy of God that is yours in Christ Jesus. Just as God reminded Israel there before Mount Sinai of all that he had done for them to make them his people and to deliver them from slavery and bring them towards the land of promise. So God has done the same for each of you in Christ. God in Christ has redeemed you from death and from the power of the devil. He has set you free from the slavery to sin by Christ's death and resurrection. God, through holy baptism, has joined you to himself, redeeming you in the blood of Christ, marking you with the cross of Christ forever. In the Holy Sacrament, Christ himself feeds you with his body and his blood, so that you might be renewed in the forgiveness of your sins and the hope and promise of life eternal. This is how God works. This is the only way that God works, through the word that he has sent forth, so that those who hear and believe that word might be saved and have eternal life. Rejoice, dear children of God, for your place in God's kingdom does not depend on your faithfulness, but on God's. And God is faithful. He will continue to send forth his word, and the church has his promise that the word which he sends forth will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. And the purpose for which it is sent is to work repentance and forgiveness of sins. And where there is repentance and forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And there you will find God's holy people. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.